Once again, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I hope that, give them a hand. I hope today is a good day for all the mothers out there. I know that, you know, we realize today, days like today can be joyful. At the same time, they can be challenging. For some, that they can be painful. But I do want you to know that no matter where you are, that Friendship Church honors you, not just today, but especially today. So if your mom is still living, I hope that you can find a way to honor and to celebrate her today. If your mom has gone on to be with the Lord, I hope that today is a healing mix of sweet memories and appreciation for all of the lessons that she taught you in life. Happy Mother's Day to the moms that have loved through sheer and complete exhaustion. To the moms who stayed strong when no one noticed, who gave all that they had to the ones that they loved, not just their children. Amen. To the moms that carry burdens that no one else sees, who confronts fears, who wipe away tears, somehow still have the ability to offer hope and joy. Happy Mother's Day. To those that pray the silent prayers that no one hears, and to those that go into their closet or when they're alone, they cry and scream out to God, we honor you and thank you for your prayers. To the single moms that do the jobs of both mom and dad, we pray that God would continue to give you strength and wisdom. To new moms, stepmoms, foster moms, spiritual moms, may God bless you and we thank you. To those that long to be a mother, that struggle to become one, we love you and walk with you. To those that experience the pain of losing a child, we pray that God would comfort you as only He can. Whether you have a strained experience with your own mom or with your child, we stand with you today in prayer. So basically, thank you for all the sacrifices that only God sees. And rest assured, He does see them. He sees you, He hears you, and He will answer your prayers according to His goodness and to His perfect timing. So happy Mother's Day. Whether you're mothering your own children, raising someone else's children like Pastor Martin said, or simply speaking up for the rights of children in general, we honor you and we thank you. So happy Mother's Day. Several weeks ago, Pastor Mark started a new sermon series in Genesis. And so we're going to continue that today. And I think it should be, well, it might be obvious, it might not be obvious, but we're going to talk about Eve, who was a woman of many firsts. And so when we begin today, let's look at the very first mother that we find in the pages of Scripture. In fact, in the pages of all of history. As I said, Eve was a woman of many firsts. In fact, she was the first woman. She was the first wife. She was the first mother. She was the first grandmother. She was the first on and on and on and on. Everything that there is, she was the first of. And so the Bible tells us that Adam was created together with Eve in the image of God. And she was commanded along with Adam to rule over the entire world, that she was commissioned with Adam to be fruitful and to multiply. And she was also created from Adam. From the very beginning of creation, God gave women value and identity. You see, Genesis 2:21, the scriptures won't be up on the slide today because we're going to go through a lot and we're going to bounce all over the place. But Genesis 2:21 says, Adonai Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And then the Lord built the rib which he had taken from the man into a woman, and then he brought her to the man. And the Hebrew word for rib means more than just a bone out of the body. And so a long time ago, the translator just put this particular word in there because it's the best one that fit into the English language. But the concept, the idea of what we see here in the pages of Scripture is that God took from the side of Adam, from the part out of the essential nature and everything that made Adam who he was in the image of God. God took from that. So it was more than just the bone, but everything that made Adam in the image of a loving God. And so it signifies that Eve is more than just what we say as a helper, but that she was a partner, that she was an equal, that she was a counterpart to Adam in the Garden of Eden before sin entered the world. Genesis 3:20 says, "And now Adam named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all the living." So what did Adam mean when he called Eve the mother of all the living? I believe that there are three ways that we can kind of approach this today as we speak of Eve as the mother of all the living. There are three things that Adam spoke by faith over her when he gave her that name. The first is that she is the mother of all the physically living. Second, she is the mother of all the spiritually living. And then thirdly, she and Adam are the beginning of the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so we're going to look at some of those very quickly today. First, Eve is the mother of all living things, means that she's the mother of everyone that lives on this earth, according to Genesis 1:28 and Genesis 3:16. Eve is the mother of every single person that lives and has lived. God's first recorded command to Adam and Eve was to go and multiply. It says in Genesis 1:28, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the land, conquer it, rule over the fish of the sea, the flying creatures in the sky, and over every animal that crawls on the land." And so this was part of God's good plan for creation. Because remember, when he created everything, it was good. And then when he created Adam and Eve, he said it was very good. And so this was part of God's good plan. He created the first man and the first woman, and from them would come all other human beings created in the image of God with the purpose of living a life to glorify God. That was the plan. That is still the plan for each and every single person that walks the face of the earth today. Then you say, well, then why is the world the way that it is? It's a great question, because sin was introduced into the world. Adam and Eve both disobeyed God, and suddenly for the first time they experienced guilt and shame and fear. When God came looking for them in the quiet of the garden, they hid from him, fearing that their sin would be exposed. And so when God confronted their sin, Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and then God placed judgment upon all three of them. But here's the thing, I think sometimes that we get a little bit twisted. I think that we think that God cursed not only the serpent, but I think we have come to believe that God also cursed man, that he cursed Adam and he cursed Eve. But that's not what the Bible tells us. He pronounced a curse upon the serpent and not Adam and Eve. And then he explains the coming consequences of sin entering into the world to Adam and Eve. And to the woman, he said this in Genesis 3:16, "I will greatly increase your pain from conception to labor. In pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be towards your husband, yet he must rule over you." That is a consequence of the sin that entered into this world. That was not God's original plan or design. He told the man in Genesis 3:17 and 19, then he said to the man, "Because you listened to your wife's voice and ate of the tree which I commanded you, saying you must not eat of it, cursed is the ground because of you. With pain you will eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles will sprout for you. You will eat the plants of the field. And by the sweat of your brow you will eat food until you return to the ground, since that is where you have been taken from. For you are dust, and to dust you will return." So right after that, Adam, in this new reality that they have both just entered into, he speaks this over Eve. He says, "Now Adam named Eve, his wife, named his wife Eve because she was the mother of all living things." Instead of speaking death over her, he spoke life over her. And Eve would then become the mother of all that live. And she would be the mother of the entire human race. in God's grace, the human race would continue from Eve throughout all of eternity, even though sin had entered into the world. The Bible also tells us that Eve is the mother of all that are spiritually living, according to Genesis 3:15. So if we stop long enough to actually read the scriptures, to see what Jesus is trying to tell us in his word, then we begin to see a very living picture of the goodness of God from even before the foundations of the world to now, to the end of eternity. And so Eve was the first of all that lived physically, but more importantly, all that live spiritually. Genesis 3:15, the first part says, "I will put animosity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed." And he's talking to the enemy here. And so this was part of God's curse on the serpent. And it was a prophecy that there was a spiritual battle to come, that there would be enmity between the offspring of the serpent, or the enemy of our souls, and the offspring of the woman. And so I know that, ladies, probably most of you don't really like snakes, right? And if we're being honest, most guys don't really like snakes either, right? Is that just me? I'm not like a huge fan. You know, as long as I have a shovel or a shotgun, I'm good with a snake. Otherwise, I don't want to really mess with them. But kind of got off track there. This is not what the Bible is really talking about. It's not talking about women and snakes, because the Bible identifies the serpent as the enemy of our soul, or as Satan himself. And the word Satan just basically means adversary. That's exactly who Satan is to us. He is our adversary. He is an enemy. And so he is opposed to God, and therefore he is opposed to all of God's good creation, which includes you and I today, because we are especially created in the image of God. And so the Bible calls him a murderer from the beginning. So from the very beginning of time, he is a murderer, and he is a liar, and he is the father of lies, according to John 8:44. Basically, Satan hates God, wants to be God, wants to rule in his place. And if he hates God, then he most assuredly hates the people of God, those that are created in his image. So the offspring of the serpent are not snakes. Rather, they are those that follow in the enemy's footsteps, those who are opposed to and actively work against the will of God in this world. And so if that's who the serpents or the enemy's offsprings are, then who are the offspring of the woman? So here it's referring to those people who love God, who follow God, and who live according to his will. Many times in the Bible, you'll hear the phrases talking about the righteous and the wicked. The righteous are those who love God and live according to his will, who follow him day in, day out. And the wicked are those that actively oppose God and his will. And so we have basically these two groups of people pictured in this one verse in Genesis 3:15, the offspring of the enemy of our souls and the offspring of Eve, those who follow God and those who don't. And there's a spiritual battle that goes on between these two groups, and the spiritual battle continues even to this present day. But it began back in Genesis as soon as Eve bore her first children. In Genesis 4, Eve gives birth to Cain and Abel. Cain murders his brother Abel because Abel's heart was right with God, but Cain's was not. It's a sign, basically, of things to come through Genesis. As we continue through Genesis, we see that Cain's line produces further violence and rebellion against God because he follows in the path of rebellion. Meanwhile, Adam and Eve have another son. Genesis 4 tells us that they name him Seth, which means God has granted me another child in the place of Abel. That's a lot of meaning for one little name, right? But God has granted me another child. But the word that is used in Genesis 4:25 is not child. Does anybody know what that word is? The word is seed. God has given me a seed, or an offspring, that we have been following from Genesis 3:15. So the promise of the seed that we see in Genesis 3 for the woman had not been fulfilled through Cain, but it would be fulfilled through Seth and through Seth's line. And so we see that Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. And the Bible says in Genesis 4:26, at that time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. And so the book of Genesis presents us today with this godly seed of that comes from Eve that is followed through the line of Seth and his offspring. And they are opposed to the ungodly seed of the serpent, which is presented by Cain and his offspring. And so this continues all throughout the Bible until we get all the way to the book of Revelation. In Revelation 12, John gives us this vision. He sees Satan pictured as a dragon. And he tells us that the dragon was enraged at the woman, went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, those who obey God's commandments and hold to the testimony of Jesus. I believe Pastor Mark has said it time and time again. We are getting much closer to that time when we see the war between God's offspring and the offspring of Satan. But God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. And Adam heard God's words, and he named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all spiritually living creatures in this world. And she is the mother of those who follow God and hold to the testimony of Jesus. And lastly, she is the mother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Genesis 3:15. It says this, he will crush your head and you will crush his heel. God said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, but your offspring and between your offspring and hers, and he will crush your head and you will strike his feet. This is the earliest prophecy that we have of Jesus in the pages of Scripture. And it's an amazing testimony to God's grace because no sooner that sin entered into the world did God provide a way back to be in relationship with him. Because directly after this, the Bible tells us that God took the skin of an animal and clothed them, basically establishing the sacrifice that needs to be made to cover sin. And you see this played out throughout the pages of Scripture. The Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death, according to Romans 6:23. God told Adam, you are to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die. And when Adam ate from the fruit of the tree, he didn't drop dead physically, but at that moment, he died spiritually and would need a redeemer to come and reestablish his spiritual life. He became separated from God by his sins. He needed a savior. Eve needed a savior. The human race needed a savior to reestablish their relationship with God, and God promised from that day that there would be a Savior that would come through the offspring of Eve. Amen. You know, if you take the time to trace the lineage, and I know nobody likes to read all the names in the Bibles when you have the lineages and all that, but it's there for a reason because it shows us the goodness of God and His plan from the very beginning of creation, even until now. But if you begin in the Old Testament, basically it begins with Adam and Eve. It passes through Seth and eventually to Noah and Noah's son Shem, through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then it passes down from Jacob's son Judah on to David. And finally, we get to Christ, who was born from Mary and who was pledged to be married to Joseph. Both Mary and Joseph are in the lineage of David, and it's through David that Jesus can rightfully, it's through Joseph in the lineage of David that Jesus can rightfully take the place as the King of Israel, as the King of all of this earth. And so we see here that Eve was the first to sin. Adam soon followed. Through their sin, death came upon the entire human race. Yet immediately after that, Adam, hearing God's promise of the Savior, he doesn't call Eve the mother of the dying. Rather, he calls her the mother of all the living. Adam's name means ground, literally means dirt or root. It's kind of like this red clay is basically what Adam's name means. And it's a reminder of our death. But Adam called his wife Eve and spoke promise into her life spoke promise over her, declaring basically that the promised Savior would come through her. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came into our world. The eternal Son of God, who was with God before creation, who everything was made, he came into our world. He was born into our world as a human being. Satan struck at Jesus' heel, tempting to attack him in his humanity, but Jesus crushed his head, dying for our sins on the cross and freeing us from Satan, from sin, and from death, so that we can live with him for all of eternity. The spiritual battle that began so many years ago has been won in the person of Jesus Christ. And so why did Adam name his wife Eve the mother of all the living? Because she is the mother of all physically living, all spiritually living, and she begins the lineage of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So what does that mean for us today? First and foremost, we are all created in the image of a living God, which means that we are all part of one human race. We can trace, each and every single one of us can trace our ancestors back to two people, back to Adam and to Eve. And so this is an important truth for us to understand, because we tend to divide people into different races. And historically, most people in different races have been mistreated or discriminated against in one way or another. But God's word shows us that we are all one human race. We all have common ancestry. We are all related to each other. And if we are in Christ, we are all part of the body of Christ. So if you follow after Christ, if you live according to his will, then there is no room in the body of Christ for racial prejudice, for discrimination based on being male or female, no matter what race you are, no matter where you come from, what country, what ethnicity. There is no room for any discrimination of any kind whatsoever in the body of Christ. Secondly, we are all sinners by nature and need a Savior. When Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, their sin was passed on to their children and their children's children, and so on and so forth. We are all sinners, and the just punishment for sin is death. The Apostle Paul puts it this way in Romans 5:12. Sin entered into the world through one man, and death through sin. And in this way, death came to all men because all have sinned. When we say that we're all sinners by nature, it simply means that we are all born with this sinful nature. And no one teaches us how to sin. In fact, as soon as we're old enough to sin, we begin to sin because it's the nature that we are born with, each and every single one of us. We are all sinners by nature and in need of a Savior. We are born into sin. That's why we need to be born again in Christ. And thirdly, Jesus is the only Savior for all of mankind. Jesus is the promised offspring that was promised way back in the beginning pages of Scripture, the one that would crush the serpent's head. He is the Savior that God promised to send. And it's only through him and his death on the cross and his resurrection that we are able to be forgiven of our sins. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life that is only found in Christ Jesus. Adam's sin brought death into the world. But in faith, Adam named his wife Eve, speaking life over the rest of creation. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus is the only hope that we have in this life. We cannot place our faith, we cannot place our hope in anyone other than the person of Jesus Christ. So the greatest gift that a mother could give to her children, other than physical life, is a path to spiritual life. The reality is that motherhood is not a role that someone is assigned when they have children. It is a spiritual assignment to nurture, to protect, to come alongside of God first and foremost, to lead your family to Christ through love. The idea of what Eve is to Adam is the same thing as what the Holy Spirit is to us, someone to come alongside of us. Mothers to children, to your spouse, when they're tired, when they're weary, when they can't do it alone, to draw alongside of us and to carry us to the place that God intends. That's the relationship that God intended for a man and a woman to have, and that's the same relationship that you see a mother with her children, is to come alongside and to help, just like the Holy Spirit comes alongside us when we're weak, when we're weary, when we don't have a way to do it on our own. The Holy Spirit comes alongside of us and carries us to the place that God intends us to be. So moms, you give, you plan, you fix, you mend, you nourish, you love, you encourage, you heal, you protect, you feed, you correct. And so in you, we already find the story of Eve, the mother of all creation, the story of God's fierce faithfulness. But we also discover the story of Eve's fierce faithfulness to God. Eve refused to be defined by one bad decision in her life, even though it was a really bad one. It had some major consequences. She was not defined by that, right? She overcame that because she walked in the destiny that God created and planned for her even before the foundations of the world. In fact, it's only after the fall and after the curse that she receives this name, Eve, because she would become the mother of all who live. So instead of being defined by her past mistakes, Eve partners with God to continue God's work in all of creation. In doing so, she lives up to her name as the mother of all who lives. She is fiercely faithful to the work with which God entrusted her. And moms, I pray and thank you for the fact that you are too. As I close today, I want to remind you of this. Paul explains in Galatians 4, when the right time came, God sent his son, who was born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law of sin and death, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. Because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son, or the Holy Spirit, into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. And with that, the Bible tells us that now we are no longer slaves, but we are God's own child. Amen. And since we are God's own child, then that means that God has made us an heir. The Bible tells us that in Christ, we now become joint heirs with Christ. Every promise, everything that the Bible speaks of is available to us through our relationship with Christ. If you will, please stand. Doesn't matter if you're a mom, if you're a dad, if you're a son or a daughter, we all fit into those four categories, but you are not alone in this world, even though you may feel that you're alone at times. Like I said at the beginning, God sees you and he hears you. Not only does he see you and hear you, but he intervened into the pages of history to send his son to die on the cross for your sins. He broke this world wide open to send Jesus in it to save you and redeem you. And he has told us so from the very beginning of the pages of Scripture. So it's no accident that you are here today. It's no accident that you are where you are in your life. God has planned and has established your steps from the very beginning. So if you feel alone, you are not. If you feel like no one hears you, I assure you that he does. He saves us. He redeems us. He entered into humanity in order to give us a hope, to give us a future, to give us a purpose, which is to live for His glory, and to give us a destiny or an eternity, which is with Him. And so as we close today, I just want to say this. To all the moms, thank you for all the sacrifices that only God sees. But to each and every single one of you here, He sees you, He hears you. He will answer all of your prayers. I'm going to close in prayer, but we're also going to open up the altar. So if there's anyone that would like prayer for any reason whatsoever, we would love to pray with you and for you. So as the prayer team comes, God, thank you for this opportunity to gather together today. God, we thank you so much for the examples of the godly women that we see in the pages of Scripture. If we don't have that at home, God, we can find it in your word. But I thank you, God, for all the moms and all the women here who establish a spiritual lineage for those that come after them. God, I pray that you would continue to move. If there's anyone here that does not feel seen or heard, God, I pray that you would speak to them right now through the power of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And amen. We have a few minutes today, so let us pray with you or for you in Jesus' name.